you ask anyone, have you ever heard of Elijah? If they know nothing else about him, they will say, isn't he the guy who had the contest with the prophets of Baal? That is probably the most well-known incident in the life of Elijah. And it is the subject of our study tonight. 1 Kings chapter 18. We concluded last week with Elijah standing before Ahab. And basically what is going to take place is a contest between the two. We are in a contest every day of our lives with the unbelieving world around us. The world that says we have a number of gods, and the most important one is the God of self. There are other gods out there, the God of science, the God of philosophy, the God of medicine, and other things, the God of nature. But the biggest God is the God of self. And self can do whatever he wants to do. And that just isn't the case. And our job, like Elijah's, was to convince the people around him that that's not the God who needs to be worshipped. Let's look at this contest, if you will, tonight, as if we had never, ever come in contact with it before. You're hearing it now for the very first time. I'm going to pick it up at verse 16. We ended here last week, but I want to pick it up here. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he, that would be Elijah, answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. At the very beginning here, we have the nature of this contest. The nature is this: who brings blessing to mankind and who brings trouble to mankind? Whenever something goes wrong, quote unquote, in the world, the unbelieving world is quick to throw the blame on Christians, but even more so on the God of the Christians. Why couldn't God do this? Why couldn't he keep this person from dying, from keep this war from taking place, from keeping this flood from happening, from doing this or doing that? What kind of a God is that? You Christians are the cause of all the problems in the world because you worship a God that's not worthy of worship. That's basically what's going on here. We, on the other hand, would say, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the government. Where else? No, God is the one who blesses mankind. It's not self-produced. So that's the contest that's going on here between Ahab and Elijah. Okay, so here's the contest. Elijah says, now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the grove 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. The place of the contest is noted here at Mount Carmel. Couple of things that are significant about this. Mount Carmel, a few weeks ago when we looked at, I had a map up there where it is. It's on the northeast corner of Israel. It's right off of the Mediterranean Sea. There's a number of plateaus on the mountain. The peak of the mountain is over 1,700 feet above sea level. But there's a river that runs by Mount Carmel that even during the midst of this three-year drought still had water in it. Never dries up. But the most important thing about Mount Carmel, and I almost said Mount, my father lived, grew up in Shamokin, Pennsylvania. Anyone know where Shamokin is? Okay, it's right next to Mount Carmel, Pennsylvania. But everyone up there said Mount, M-A-R-N-T, not M-O-U-N-T. There was an altar that had been erected in decades gone by at Mount Carmel when Israel was still faithful to the Lord. It's a place that had, as we will see in a few minutes, where the altar was broken down. And it was a place of significance to say to these people that were living there, your lives are broken down because you have abandoned the worship of God. So it was an interesting place. And Ahab, interestingly enough, says to Elijah, hey, I'll do whatever you say. Does that sound like a king to you? It tells me that God was providentially working in the lives of the people. He said, not only do I want you there, I want you to gather up all these prophets that you have and the prophets that Jezebel has, and I want you to gather the whole nation to this place. Now, as we'll see, the prophets of Baal came, the 450. We don't find the prophets that ate at Jezebel's table being 400, unless that was just a subset of the 450. But the people came, so God was working. Verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? The word halt there can be translated to teeter or to straddle, or what's the word? It went right out of my... vacillate, that's the word I want. Teetering, vacillating, limping along. It's not being able to choose between two things. How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. We have the opponents in the contest. The opponents are the prophets of Baal and Elijah. Prophets of Baal were 450. Elijah was one. If you were in a contest, let's say a wrestling match, and you had to wrestle 450 people by yourself, what are your chances of winning? Pretty slim. Unless you weigh about 3,000 pounds and they can't do anything about it. Now, not a chance. 450 prophets of Baal, one Elijah. Odds are stacked against them. And in the world today, who rules? In the world. The majority rules.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, look, 450 of us, who do you think you are? You're just one. We surround the king. You're out there all by yourselves with widows and ravens and all that kind of stuff. But really, was the opponents in the contest the prophets of Baal and Elijah? Or was it Baal and Jehovah? That's really who it was. So you find the prophets, and now he says to the people, you've got to make a decision. Elijah's going to basically say to these people, I'm going to prove to you that Jehovah is God. There is reason to believe in him and him alone and nobody else. That's the contest. That's what we're going to decide here. Verse 22. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450. I'm willing to take on the 450 because guess who's on my side? God is. I know that to be true. Well, here's the question of the contest. Who can do the miraculous? Verse 23. Let them therefore give us two bullocks. Let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on the wood and put no fire under. And call you on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, hey, that's a great idea. Literal translation, well, no. Good idea. That'll solve it. Which God can do the miraculous? But there's a second question there as well. Which God answers prayer? Because in it, the people, as well as the prophets of Baal, are going to call on their God to do something miraculous. So you have to have people praying, in essence, calling on their gods, and the God has to respond to that prayer. That's the contest. That's the question that needs to be answered. What are the means of the contest? Well, which sacrifice will be accepted? We're going to put this out here. We're going to make it as much as possible, humanly impossible, to deceive. You lay it out here, you've set it up, but fire has to come out of nowhere. Can't be human generated. There has to be a God who's going to work supernaturally in response to your prayers. It's going to catch on fire and be consumed. Because that's the God who's really God. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first. For you are many, I'll give you the right to go first. And call on the name of your gods, plural. And put no fire under. And they took a bullock, which was given them. They dressed it and called on the name of Baal from the morning even until noon. Now, we don't have the specific time of morning giving here. Hebrew day is going to go from sundown to sundown, but morning is going to be at sunrise. Well, that could be somewhere around 6 o'clock. Probably it was a little bit later than that till they got all the people together. So let's just be conservative. Say it was 9 o'clock till noon. For 3 hours, they're out there and they're calling on the name of Baal. Oh, Baal, hear us. Guess what? There was no voice, nor any that answered. Didn't work for 3 hours. They're praying. It wasn't sweet hour of prayer. It was unsweet 3 hours of prayer.
He bailed out.
Oh, Lord. Well, maybe we're not animated enough. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. Now, they're not leaping from below it on top of it. They're getting up and they're jumping up and down. Look at all this motion. These are really spiritually alive people. You see that the spirit is in them. Wrong spirit. And it came to pass at noon after doing all this that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Now, notice the word is in italics. For he a God? If you read it that way, it becomes a question. And I think that's what he's saying here. If he's really a God, wouldn't he have answered by now? Well, he is either talking, consequently, because he's talking, he doesn't hear you. Or he is pursuing something, or he is in a journey, Or peradventure he sleeps and must be awake. In other words, he can't multitask. If he's talking, he can't hear. If he's doing one thing, he can't be doing another. If he's going in this direction, he's moving away from you and he can't hear. And if he's asleep, well, if he sleeps like I do, he can't hear. All those are human characteristics and not characteristics of deity. Jehovah never sleeps, never slumbers nor sleeps. And it's amazing when people get together for prayer meetings all over the world. You have all these voices going up at the same time. God says, wait a minute, I can't understand all these voices. He gets them all. And they cried aloud. Well, if he's not hearing us, maybe we need to speak a little louder. Isn't it interesting when we get into an argument and the other person doesn't hear what we're saying? What do? We yell at them. We get angry and we yell. Because if we yell, then they're going to hear us. No, they heard us quite fine with our normal voices. They didn't want to hear what we had to say. So now they're out there and they're crying aloud. And they cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out of them. If we can show somehow how dedicated we are, that we're willing to risk our lives for you, he's going to look down on us. He's going to say, wow, those people are really dedicated. Now I better answer. And it came to pass when midday was past and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, right before sundown, 6 o'clock. 6 more hours of this had gone by. That there was neither voice nor any answer to any that he regarded or that regarded. 9 hours of jumping up and down and cutting themselves and crying out loud. Nothing. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. That's what I referred to earlier. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of Jehovah. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces, and he laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water. Why there? Because there's a river right there where you can get 4 barrels of water. Remember, it hasn't rained for 3 years. They would struggle elsewhere to get that much water. But now they're at the right place. Pour it on the burnt sacrifice. And on the wood. Well, what's that going to do? It's going to drench the wood. How easy is it to make wet wood burn? And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. Now this thing is thoroughly soaked. And the water ran about the altar. Filled the trench also with water. So you have this thing which is absolutely impossible, humanly speaking, to catch fire. And Elijah's doing that to show just how great God is. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and I have not done all these things, I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord, that thou hast turned their heart back again. Does anyone here tonight have a phone with a stopwatch app on it? Mike, can you use it. Give you a second here to get it out. Tell me when you're ready. When I say start the thing. I want to read this prayer again, and I want you to tell me how long it takes to pray this prayer. Let me find the beginning of it. Okay, start. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel, and that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things at Thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. Stop. 25 seconds. As compared to 9 hours? What happened? Verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. Okay. And the wood. Wait a minute. The wood's been drenched. Okay. And the stones. They don't burn. And the dust. That, if that burned, my wife would burn the house down, dusting. And licked up the water that was in the trench, 12 barrels full. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." What were the results of the contest? Well, for the prophets of Baal, these things came about. Their cries went unanswered. Their actions went unnoticed. Their devotions went unappreciated. Their followers went away. How about for Elijah? The name of Jehovah was exalted. The power of Jehovah was displayed. The position of Elijah, I'm the only one out here. Oh, you can't be anything. Oh, yes, I am. I'm the servant of the Most High God. The word of God was magnified, and the people of Israel repented. The contest, God won. What are the lessons that we can learn about this contest that you and I are in every day of our lives? Two things. All the displays of spirituality can never benefit mankind when directed to a God that does not exist or by an unbelieving person. I'm my own God. Well, are you almighty? Well, not almighty. Are you all-knowing? Well, not all-knowing. Do you see everything? Well, not everything. Do you hear everything? Well, not everything. Are you really a God then? Well, not really. But yet we trust in ourselves. Or we call on some other God and we say, well, isn't the God of Islam the same God just by a different name? Oh, no, He's not. Mm-hmm. Was it you that just told me about the videotape of the woman in Iran? Someone was telling me today. There was an interview of a woman in Iran saying that how Allah was going to protect them. And as the interview was going on, a bomb went off right behind her, and she ran off the... Allah will protect me. I'm gone. I'm out of here. Didn't happen. Or by a person who might pray to God, the real God, or at least they think so, but is an unbeliever. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, nor his ear, I forget the word, that he cannot hear. But your sins have separated you from him, that he cannot hear or will not hear. Problem isn't with God. The problem was with man. Ahab said, Elijah, you're the one who's troubling Israel. Nope. It's you, Ahab, because you have the wrong God and you're not believing. Secondly, all the believer needs to do to move God to action is to obey his will and to ask faithfully. God said to Elijah, I want you to go by the brook Cherith. I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. And he goes and he obeys his will. And after a period of time, he says, I want you to go up to Zarephath. There's a widow up there that's going to sustain thee. And he goes up and that happens. He was walking in the will of God constantly, day after day after day after day. And now he's put here for this event. By the way, if he hadn't gone to the brook at Cherith and the widow at Zarephath, he would have never been prepared for Mount Carmel. Those were two necessary steps in getting there. But now he's there, and he offers up a prayer of how many seconds? 25 seconds. In a language that everybody understood, you don't see anything going on as far as motions or anything. He doesn't cross himself. He doesn't genuflect. He doesn't jump up and down or whatever. Just praise. The words are simple. No big theological statements or anything. Basically, it's, God, you got to do something. And look what God does. I hear people saying, I don't want to pray because what if I say the wrong words? God understands. You don't have to have big theological language to pray to move God. You just have to believe and walk in his will. And then pray. For James says, you don't have because you don't ask. And look what Elijah asked for. God, here's something that's impossible except for you. And he did it. Here's Matthew. The world says, not possible. Lynn says, except for God. And guess who won that contest? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you never slumber nor sleep. Thank you that you always hear the prayers of faith. Thank you that you're never too busy to intercede in the least of matters and never underpowered to intercede in the most difficult of matters. Thank you that you have a will that is perfect and that you are sovereign in the world today accomplishing it. And how we can look forward to tomorrow because we know that you have it under your control as well. Lord, we praise you tonight for how good you are. Help us in the day-to-day contests of life with the unbelieving world around us to demonstrate that you are the God who brings blessing to people who walk in faith and pray accordingly, and that the way of the world only brings misery as it did with Ahab. that end, we look forward to what you'll do in us and then through us. For your glory, we pray in our Savior's name. Amen. Have a good week.